So there's a sugya of charoses. If that wasn't shocking enough, there's a steer in Rambam's and the sugya of charoses. And if we can make sense of that, we will not only have come to a greater understanding of what happened 2 weeks ago, but we'll also come to hopefully a greater understanding of brachos in general, and specifically to begin to solve the problem we had raised with Sfiras HaOmer. You remember, last week we saw, after diving into the sugya of Sfiras HaOmer in general and getting comfortable with the machlokas over with the Sfiras HaOmer Zman HaZez D'Oraisa D'Rabbanan, we focus particularly on the second shita of the Bahag, the second of the two that Tosus quotes, and that was the shita of the Halachas Gedolos, that if you miss a day, you can no longer, it's pointless to continue counting because we require tamimos. Halacha l'maisa, Shulchan Aruch says, we don't follow the Bahag fully, and that's very important. Shulchan Aruch does not say if you skipped a day, if you missed a day, night and day, forget counting. That's a common misconception. The Shulchan Aruch actually says is Shachach Levarach Be'echem Ayamim entirely Sofer B'Shar Yamim below Bracha. You do count without a Bracha. It's a common misconception because very often, as the Amorim themselves were aware, telling people to do a mitzvah without a bracha may lead people to take the mitzvah less seriously. Gemara raises that in the context of brachas on mitzvahs and on Yontif Sheni Shogalias. Gemara points out that if we're chazal to have set things up, that you have a seder the second night, but you don't make a bracha al chilas matzah, you don't make a bracha al chilas marar, there will be a great danger that over time people would stop keeping a second seder, because they'll get the misimpression, oh, no bracha, it's not really a thing. Oh, no bracha, it's not really a chiyuv. Which some have pointed out maybe what happened with Shmini Atzeres. Because the Gemara, at least arguments in the Gemara, is pretty clear that Shmini Atzeres, Chutz La'aretz, you sit in Sukkah, but you don't make a bracha. Yesuvi Yasvin and Baruch Lo Mevarchinan, and over the centuries, it has become increasingly common that people don't sit in Sukkah, or very little, b'chol. So there may be different explanations for that. Maybe it has to do with alternative gear cells from Yishonim, or has to do with historically Chassidim would come to the Rebbe Shmini Atzeres, and there wasn't enough room for everyone to sleep in Sukkah, eat in Sukkah, so their whole chemitzah p'tur min Sukkah, or maybe in addition, it was moved forward by the sense that, well, there's no bracha, it's not so serious. So halach l'mais is very important to know. If you miss an entire night and day of Sfira, halach l'mais you must continue counting Sfira. Ideally, you cannot make a bracha yourself. Ideally, be yosef the chazan's bracha, yosef someone else's bracha. But there is a chiyuv. Why? Why am I stressing this? Number one, because halacha l'maisa, and there's a practical halacha l'maisa mistake that many make. Number two, because we don't really pass on the Bahag. Why not? Bahag said it. The answer is, Bahag said it, but Tosus was shocked. Tosus said it's absurd, it's untenable. The Rush explained it's absurd, it's untenable because what? Because every day is a separate mitzvah. Every day is a separate mitzvah. Right? That's what the Rosh said. The Rosh said in the Pesachim, it said, every day is a separate mitzvah, so you missed that yesterday. So Adarab, you should be even more careful to do the mitzvah properly going forward. The very end of Sinan and Malif, call light of a light, mitzvah b'fiyatzmi. Why is the Bahag saying you missed a day, you're out, as though it's one big mitzvah? It's not one big mitzvah. And the Pirogadim had said, and I'll prove to you, it's not one big mitzvah. 49 separate mitzvahs, 49 separate brachas equals 49 separate mitzvahs. Were it to have been one big mitzvah with 49 separate parts, shouldn't we have only said one bracha? Proof positive. A problem. So l'maisa, so we're not making like the Bahag, we are machma like the Bahag, and not only terms of Allah l'maisa, but what was the Bahag thinking? Bahag was a towering Talmud Chacham. He, I believe, if you look in Bahag, he also assumes that you say a bracha every single night, and yet he says you missed a night, you're out. So how do you understand, how are we to make sense of the Shita of Bahag? So the first solution may lie in, of all things, diving into the sauce. Diving into charoses. So let's what's the kasha, what's the teretz, what's the stira, what's the sugya? So it all begins Kuf Yudalit Amin Aleph. This is where the Mishnayos in the Mishnayos in Arvei Pesachim begin to actually take you through step by step through the Seder. Usually when Mishnayos get into that mode of step by step narrative, it's about processes that were done in Beis HaMikdash. It's more rare to hear it about processes that apply Bezman HaZeh. Now, the Seder is interesting sort of on the edge, because we have a Seder Bezman HaZeh, but the Seder was somewhat different, obviously, B'tkufas HaMikdash with the Karban Pesach. So, be that as in May, Lamasa, much of Arvei Pesachim is a step-by-step process, progress through the Seder. So, the top Mishnah in Kuf Yudalad Amud Aleph talks about Mazal Kos Rishon and pouring the cup for Kaddish and how you say Kiddush. And then the second Mishnah says, after Kiddush, Heviu lefanav mitabah b'chazer shemigev l'paperas harpas. Karpas, you bring out the vegetables, you start dipping. And then it talks about the ka'ara. Heviu lefanav matzah v'chazeras v'charoses, u'shnei tavshilin. You bring out, this is bizman hazela, achar churban habayis. You bring out a ka'ara. With the two tavshilin, we have zroah and beitza. The Gemara discusses different options. Zeichel Karm Pesach, Zeichel Chagiga, and Matzah Chazeres Charotzes. Matzah Chazeres is romaine lettuce, which is the ideal of the five options for Maror, as the Mishnah tells us earlier in the second paragraph of Pesachim, and Charotzes. At the end, the Mishnah says, the days of the Mikdash used to actually bring out Karm Pesach. Imagine that. After Kaddish, you bring out the Ka'ara looked very different. You had, according to many, you showed him a whole lamb roasted down the middle of your dining room table. Down the middle of your dining room table on a ground floor in the old city of Yerushalayim. Imagine that. Okay, we don't have that. We have instead, hopefully next year we'll have that, but thus far, it's been a long time since we've had Gufo Shel Pesach. And then the Mishnah says, you know, they brought the Charoses, Afal Pi She'ein Charoses Mitzvah. Even though Charoses is not really a mitzvah, sort of leaves you dangling there, it's not a mitzvah. This is obvious, but it's not a mitzvah, but it's there anyways. Why is there anyways if it's not a mitzvah? Do they bring out strawberries? Why do they bring out charoses for? You told me you have to bring out charoses. You have to bring out charoses. The Tana Kama says charoses is not a mitzvah. Blazer Reb Tzadik says no, charoses is a mitzvah. So that's an enigmatic machlokas hatanan. Everyone agrees you brought charoses, but though there's a machlokas, whether it sounds like in theory is it a mitzvah or not. So l'may nafkamina. You bring out charoses either way. So l'may nafkamina. You might ask how we paskin. But you might also wonder, what do you even mean, how paskin? There's no nafkamina. Right? You take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara gets this two blot later, Kuf Tazayim and Aleph. Just to, as a point of reference, the previous Gemara, Kuf Tazvav and Beis to Kuf Tazayim and Aleph, is a very famous and very central Gemara, which we discussed before Pesach, that the different definitions, the different significances of the term Lechem Oni. See, at the very top of Kuf Tazayim and Aleph, you're getting the end of it. The Prusa, and so on and so forth. Okay, the Gemara has both. Starting from Kuf Tazayim and Aleph, the Gemara says both about that it's a bread of conversation and that it's a bread of poverty. Now we pick up with the next Piska, Afo Pishein Charosis Mitzvah. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, Hila Mitzvah Mishum Ma'amai Sila. So why is it there if it's not a mitzvah? Am Rabbi Ami Mishum Kafa. Because of kafa, I translate kafa. So different Rishonim translate it differently. Rashi and the Rashbam translate kafa as seraf hachazeres kosha, the yeshbo aras. There's a certain degree of toxicity to the chazeres, to the maror lettuce, and you want to neutralize it somewhat. So I don't really mean it's a poison that's going to kill you, but probably poison, you know, a little bit of something that will give you some gastric disturbance. It's not going to be pleasant later. So you somehow neutralize the perhaps the alkalinity. It's the Mara is supposed to be bitter. Mara is supposed to be bitter. Bitterness, as you know, means a high pH. Right? Sorry? Good point. So romaine is often not bitter. The post can talk about it. So no one post can say that the other lettuces, by the way, there are other lettuces which are more bitter. Taste arugula, for example. That really has, if you have enough of it at a time, really leaves a bitter taste in your mouth. So some posts can talk about lettuce qualifies because at a certain stage in development, it's bitter, even though we usually tend to pick it later when it's more ripe and the bitterness has gone out of it. But I was talking to Talmud Chacham for Pesach about who's very, very fascinated with botany. No one pointed out to me that dandelion leaves are bitter, and he thinks dandelion leaves are one of the other five minim in the Mishnah. And he also said that it seems pretty clear that romaine lettuce has been bred for reduced bitterness over the last bunch of decades, because they wanted to make it more saleable. Be that as it may, I think it's unanimously accepted that romaine lettuce remains the number one option as the Mishnah presents it, even if our romaine lettuce has been somewhat modified, not GMO, but just bred for that. But either way, there is a certain bitterness, at least in some maror, as a result of which I assume is what the Gemara means, what Rashi means. It has an aras. So you want to, if you have too much of it, maybe it'll be unhealthy, it'll give you a stomachache. So as a matter of health, Chazal said you should dunk it in charosis, and that will neutralize it. And the Gargar goes on to talk about some more issues of kafa, and that's the Tana Kama. The Tana Kama says it's not a mitzvah, meaning it's just there for health purposes, just there to solve. Charosis is there to solve a practical problem. Moror is a mitzvah. Bismanas demi drabanan, right? Mara bismanas zez drabanan, because Mara Gemara says Mara only appears in the Chumash. It is in the Chumash. It is daraisa. Only appears in the Chumash as an accessory to the Pesach. It's a side dish, so to speak, that accompanies or that seasons the current Pesach. The Gemara says matzah is both. We paskin matzah also is hechshera de pischa, but we paskin the dish to be hechshera de pischa. You have a separate pasuk al be'erev tochlu matzos. So that's an independent mitzvah to eat matzah. That's why we pass on those amoraim who say that even zman hazeh matzah is daraisa. But mor is drabanan, because mor is only daraisa as a accompaniment to the karban pesach. But there is a drabanan of mor. But Tana Kama says mor is drabanan. Charosis is not really a mitzvah, just a practical issue. You better have charosis, otherwise you're going to get a stomachache. Good. Otherwise, or so whatever. I assume the danger is gastric. Whatever that danger is, if having too much of the lettuce sap, so the chirosis will neutralize it. So then the question is, one second, meaning Tana Kama doesn't mean you're not obligated to eat chirosis. You are, which is after all what the Mishnah said. You bring out chirosis. We just mean you're only obligated for safety concerns. So then the question is, next logical question is, so what's a mitzvah? So mitzvah means something other than that. So what do you mean by mitzvah? So the Gemara picks up a couple lines later, the next piska. Well, Rav Tzadok says mitzvah, my mitzvah. So now mitzvah can't just be v'nishmartem, because that's what lav mitzvah means. So what is a mitzvah? So the Gemara says it must be, Tanakama says, just a safety concern. So Rav Tzadok holds it actually is Pesach dika significance. It's some positive, symbolic significance. And the Amoraim debate what that is. Rav Levi says zecher l'tapuach. Rav Yochanan says zecher l'tit. Either it's a zecher l'tit, jumps to the eye right away, that reminds us, like the Mara, reminds us of the Koshi Hashiba, reminds us of the way Klai Yisrael were overworked so cruelly by the Egyptians. Zecher l'tapuach, Rashi says, is a positive. It's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Tachas al-Tapuch ha-Ortich, that Chazal understands is in part a reference to the way Klal Yisrael conceived children in Mitzrayim. That in the midst of all of that inui, they managed to raise families. They managed to raise families. Rashi highlights the Nes, and others might highlight the Mesiris Nefesh of the Jewish wives to become mothers, despite the incredibly harrowing context. So Zecher L'Tit is a Zecher to the Shibud. Zecher L'Tapuach is either Zecher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nitzim even within the Shibud, or Zecher to Klal Yisrael's, specifically Nishei Yisrael's Mesiris Nefesh, even within the Shibud. And Abaye says, we try to cover both. Hilkach Tzarech L'Kahuye V'Tzarech L'Samuche. You want to both give it a little bit of tang, and you want to give it thickness, a thick texture. L'kahuye zecher l'tapuach. You give it the tang to remember the tapuach, because it Pesukim describe them as under the apple up in the tapuach tree was a key spot in the romance that Jewish husbands and wives engaged in, despite the kosher yeshiva, that to find a spot that led to ultimately raising Jewish families. So you want to have the zecher l'tapuach, and we want to have l'samuche. You want to make it thick, zecher l'tip. Okay, the Gemara goes on to say we have a brisa that talks about zecher l'tit, zecher l'tavlin, zecher l'tit. You have tavlin, you have spices that will look like straw, and you make it thick, that will look like the finished product of mortar. And then Tosis gives you a longer recipe. Dimas l'tzarech, he quotes Yerushalmi, has more zecher l'dam, and that's why you pour in wine. And maybe vinegar. And then they talk about, they quote the Shuvas HaGaonim, that we should try to throw in as many as possible of the fruits that are used in Shir HaShirim as a zecher to Klal Yisrael. So we try to get in agozim, which are walnuts, and shkedim, which are almonds. We try to get in pomegranates and dates and figs. We try to bring it all in as much as possible. That does appear in Shulchan Aruch. It's, most Ashkenazim have forgotten about that line in Shulchan Aruch. But most Hashem just go with the apples, nuts, and wine. But in Shulchan Aruch, they quote this Chuvas HaGaonim, quoted in Tosis as well. And it's a remarkable, remarkable flavor. Some of the Sephardi Rishonim have other approaches to what the specifics of the recipe should be. But either way, so you have a Machlokes HaTanoim, whether it's just a solution to a practical problem, and that's lav mitzvah tanakama, just to combat the kafa, or is it supposed to be zecher to machok samram? Exactly, what's a zecher to zecher latit, zecher latevin, zecher latapuach? Yerushalmi says zecher ladam, zecher to klal Yisrael, whatever it is, but zecher to aspects of the story, and that's what we mean by mitzvah. So the next Tosis points out, raises a question that we should ask ourselves. How do we paskin? The Tosa says, Mashma, the Allah Rabbah's Reb Tzadok. From this whole Shak of Atariya, and the Rishalim, the Bryce is saying, this is what they would say, they would sell spices before Pesach. So everyone will be provided. It sounds like it's Rabbah's Reb Tzadok, meaning, what's a nafka mina, what the whole Rabbah's Reb Tzadok or Tanakama, based on the Sugi and the Bavli? What's nafka mina? Well, the recipe, right? In other words, if you hold a zeichel tit, zeichel teven, zeichel tapuach, then you need to have all these different ingredients. You're going to have the spices zeichel teven. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch on the page, that if you include cinnamon in the there were different approaches. You see in different countries, different Yishom are talking about different spices they would include, but the idea is that it's not powdered. You actually have strands of something in your harosa is going to look like tevin. So ideally you want to take cinnamon bark and pound it and break it, but not totally grind it. So there'll be sticks, little sticks, and it also makes for more powerful pops of flavor. Some talk about using ginger for that. The very specific recipes, and Shulchan Aruch says we leave it thicker. You mix a little bit of wine in before, but you mix in much more wine right before you dip the maror in, so it actually is more dippable. But over the course of the Magid, you want it to be thick. So you don't add most of the wine until the very end. All these cheshbonos are because of the different types of zecher. If you have like kanakama, you just have to have some liquid you dip it in. Maybe dip it in wine. But you wouldn't need to be so specific in terms of the zecher. So that's what emerges from the Bavli. Then you look at the Rambam. The Rambam has another nafkamina that he points out in the Perush HaMishnayos. What nafkamina is this machlok? Does the Rambam give us the Perush HaMishnayos on this Mishnah? The Rav Rabotai. What does he say? A very, very brief Rambam. Most of his comment on the charoses is devoted to his recipe. He says you soak the figs and the dates for a long time, and then you cook them, and then you pound them. Then you make this like fruit paste, and then you add in some chometz, add in vinegar. Vinegar is a good thing to counterbalance the alkalinity. And then you add some spice or another, some herb or another, with belishchika, without grind it into powder. Either you have, you don't take the azov and turn it into za'atar, you have actually like strands of azov. He gives you three suggestions of what spice to use, one of which Rav Kafach himself is not 100% sure how to translate. And then he says, Rav Tzadok, the last couple of lines of the Pirush HaMishnayos, right over here, Rabbi Tzadok, Shalom, I hear the gifts of Rabbi Tzadok, instead of Rav Elazar, Rav Tzadok. Rabbi Tzadok, Shalmah, Charoses Mitzvah, Chayv Ledata, Levarech, Asher Kishon Zosef Tzivanu, Al Achilas Charoses. Ve'ena Halacha. Interesting. He says, Rabbi Tzadok says, it's a mitzvah, meaning you make a bracha. But we don't paskin that way. Now, intriguing, he just spent time talking about the recipe and said at the very outset, you need to have chametz, you need to have some acidity, you need to have chametzos, and it has to be ke'en tit zecher l'teven, ke'en teven, excuse me, zecher l'tit. So he has all the zecher, and then he goes on to say, we don't pass like Reb Tzadok. So apparently he's assuming, even if you hold eina mitzvah, it's still zecher l'tit zecher l'teven, which is why he's impelled to ask, well, what's a nafkamina? His nafkamina is bracha. He holds a mitzvah, it means you make a bracha. We don't make a bracha. We've never heard of making a bracha on charoses. Why? So he says, oh, because we pass like the Tanakama. We still have a zechel tit, zechel tavern, zechel tapuach, but we don't make a bracha. Ah, because he holds mamish a mitzvah, you make a bracha. Gevalt. And then you turn your attention to the Lacha Mishnah points out that when you look at the Ramana Mishnah Torah, something seems to have changed. We had spent time a couple of weeks ago on the middle of Perek Zayin, beginning and middle of Perek Zayin. Beginning of Perek Zayin is dedicated to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then he got into Chayav Adam Laharos, and from there into Haseba and Arba Kosos, which ends Halacha Yud. Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Aleph, Charoses Mitzvah Divrei Sofrim, Zecher Letit, Kesad Lokamosa, etc., etc., etc. But the words that he used right from the outset are mitzah midivrei sofrim. And he says that here's how you make it. Mitzah midivrei sofrim means mitzah midivrei sofrim. That means we pass on like Rav Elazar of Tzadok. And the Magen Mishnah tells you right away, yes, after all, it sounds like Tosis. Well, the whole Shaka V'tari Namoroim, my mitzvah, so that sounds like we pass on like Rav Elazar of Tzadok. And it goes on to tell you how, what you do with it. You take the fruits, and you here he mentions raisins, and you grind them, and you add vinegar, and you add spices. And you bring it to the table, Leil HaSeder. Nothing about now. Halacha Beis, it goes on to Maror, two halachas about Maror. Nothing about a bracha. And then you keep reading Perek Shmini. After he's assembled all the elements of the Seder in Prakim Vav and Zayin, Perek Shmini actually goes through the Seder Halayla, like now following in the footsteps of the Mishnayos that go through the Seder Halayla. See, he tells you Seder Mitzvah Seh Perek Ches Halachal Seder Mitzvah Seh Belel Chamisha Asar Kachu. Here's what the Seder looks like. Here's how we organize all these elements. You pour a cup for everyone, Bor Priya Gefen, and you say Kiddush. Good, you drink. And then the Rambam says you do make Antil Sadaim on Urchatz. A different approach. Umavin Shulchan Aruch, and you bring out the whole table. You have Maror and another Yerek for Karpas. Matzah, Charoses, Gufo Shal Keves HaPesach. Bezman HaZeh says Nebuch, we don't have a Karm Pesach, we don't have a Chagiga. So you have two other types of meat instead. Zecher LePesach, Zecher LaChagiga. And then he says, watch what happens next. Halach Perkes, Halach HaBeis. Maschil Mevarach Bar Pri Adama. You make a bar pri adama and take the karpa, take the other vegetable, umetabel oso, and you dip it in the charosas. How about that? Not meimela, charosas. And you eat a kezayis. The Rambam disagreed with the position of Bali Atosi, you should eat less than kezayis. He said, no, you have to have achilas karpas. Everyone, he stresses, ein ocha pochas kezayis. Everyone has to have a kezayis. And then he goes on and on. He goes, takes you through the magid. What is missing about the charoses? And he gets to Maror later. He says you can make a bracha on the maror. You dip it in charoses. What's missing? You dip the matzah, I believe he says, in charoses also. No bracha. Never did we hear al achilas charoses. And yet, the very first thing he told us is charoses is a mitzvah. If there's one thing we know, one of the things we know about the Rambam's style in writing Perush Mishnah, in writing the Mishnah Torah, is that he is, to the extent possible, except when otherwise indicated, quoting Chazal. He's pulling together lines of Chazal that are relevant to Halacha L'maisa. He's not just writing his, not only content, but even as much as possible language. So if he, and he, to, oh, the opener especially, and we know there, every time we know that Mishnah Torah is organized as elaboration of the Tariq Mitzvahs, then he'll also organize things around Mitzvahs Drabbanan. And he'll begin a section by saying, there is a mitzvah say of X, Y, Z. Now let's talk about the details, right? So at the beginning of Perek Zayin, mitzvah say of Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim. Now let's elaborate on the details. Perek Vav had begun, mitzvah say of Achilas Matzah. Let's elaborate on the details. So here he starts in classic Rambam style, Perek Zayin L'Achil Alv, Charoses is a mitzvah midivrei Sofrim. It's not one of the Tariq mitzvahs, because it's not Doraisa, but it's a mitzvah midrabanan. And now let's get into the details. Meaning, the mitzvah. Meaning, the Blazer Reb Tzadok. So how many things change from Pirush HaMishnayos to Mishnah Torah? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many things change? Two. Which two? Right, he changes the Pesach, and he changed what the Pesach means. Now, it sounds like he's shifted. Right? In other words, when he was younger, when he wrote the Pirush HaMishnayos, and we do know he did change his mind from time to time as he got older. Now, there are many, sometimes even when, I think I mentioned in the past, Rav Kafach writes, when you get the Rambam's own manuscript of the Mishnah Torah, of the Pirush HaMishnayos, excuse me, you can see when he erased and changed. And the Mishnah Torah will correspond to the later version of the Pirush HaMishnayos, because he wrote the Mishnah Torah years after the Pirush HaMishnayos. He went through, Rav Kafa points out, if you get to know Rambam's handwriting, and I don't think anyone in the last century has done that to the extent that Rav Yosef Kafach did, you can track how his handwriting evolved as he aged, and you can figure out by looking at any given sample, you know, when it was. And you can see that the Rambam went through four stages of his Perush HaMishnayos, and every once in a while he changed his mind. One of the famous ones is in the end of the first parak of Psachim. He saw this at the beginning of the year in terms of Chere Kachalal. When he was younger, he thought Chere Kachalal only applies to metal Kalim. Then as he got older, that's what he wrote in the earlier version, the first two editions of the Perush HaMishnayos. Then he crossed it out when he got older. He said, no, anything except for Cheres. And that later version is what appears in the Mishnah Torah. So it seems like the Rambam changed his mind. That's what it seems like here also. We don't have cross outs over here, but it seems as though the Rambam changed his mind. The Magid Mishnah doesn't point out, but the Lechem Mishnah does point out. Perush HaMishnayos, he said one way, and now here, he said another way, in terms of the Psach, and in terms of the significance of the Psach. Meaning, Pirush, when he was younger, was writing the Pirush HaMishnayos, he held that if it's a mitzvah, then you ought to say a bracha. And when he got older, he embraced the Shita of Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok, or Rabbi Tzadok, that's a mitzvah, but no longer has the bracha. Just to be clear, the Rambam never held that Halacha L'maaseh, you should make a bracha. What the Rambam changed on is how come we don't make a bracha. When the Rambam was younger, he held, we don't make a bracha because we hold it's not a mitzvah. He wrote the Perush HaMishnayos, he said, we don't make a bracha because we hold like the Tana Kama. We don't pass like a Elazar Reb Tzadok. But if we would have passed like a Elazar Reb Tzadok, we would have made a bracha. When he got older, and wrote the Mishnah Torah, he said, we do pass like a Elazar Reb Tzadok, but we still don't make a bracha. So see, as you said, he changed in terms of which Tana we pass like, but also changed in terms of what the significance of the psak is. So he didn't actually change any of his psakim lemaisa. The Rambam's, it's a little slippery. The Rambam's protocols for charoses never changed. When he was younger, he said, make sure you have the ingredients, arzecho, titzecho, tapuch, etc., and no bracha. And when he was older, he said the same thing. Make sure you have zecho, titzecho, tapuch, and no bracha. But why? When he was younger, that was because we hold ena mitzvah. When he was older, it's because we hold mitzvah. So in terms of practical halacha ma'aseh leil ha-seder, the Rambam didn't change what he told how he told people to handle charoses, or how he himself handled charoses. the right recipe, no bracha. But what it obviously raises is the problem of why. In other words, he had a good point when he was younger. If it's a mitzvah, should have a bracha. After all, that's what Shmuel tells us many different places in Shas. In Shmuel's seven-word statement, kol mitzvah kulam mevarach alein over la'asiyasa. You're doing a mitzvah, you make a bracha. And you make a bracha before you do the mitzvah. So if you hold it's not a mitzvah, okay. If you hold it's a mitzvah, so why don't you make a bracha? That's the problem. That's taka a problem. That's problem number one. Let's hold on to that kasha. Rambam changes his mind. That doesn't bother us as much in terms of a stira, as much as that the Rambam had clearly been addressing a problem when he was younger. We don't know how he addressed it when he was older. When he was younger, he yelled, there's no bracha because there's no mitzvah. You know, of course, if it's a mitzvah, it's a bracha. And now somehow it became a bracha, it became a mitzvah, but a mitzvah without a bracha. Why is this mitzvah missing a bracha? Why is this mitzvah of charoses, mitzvah of divrei sofrim, missing a bracha? The very next mitzvah, achilas maror, does get a bracha. Maishna. That's problem number one. If you were learning this Rambam very, very subtly, you might have noticed something else interesting in Halacha Yud Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Aleph, and we will return to it in the next couple of minutes. But for now, let's put it aside, move on to another sugya of Leila Seder, and that is Maror. What's with the Maror? So, as Rambam told us, Maror, as we were talking about before, a couple minutes ago, Maror is Daraisa, but only as Hechshera de Pischa, and therefore, as Man Hazeh, we don't have Karim Pesach. Maror is not a chiyuv min haTorah, but it is a chiyuv midrabanan. It is a chiyuv midrabanan. That appears a very, very, I think, daf kuf chaf or so. That's the Magen Mishnah quotes here. So now you look at this rush, and the Shagas Aryeh already thought that this rush was incredibly difficult. And then you're deep into Simon Chafei, in the last parak of Psachim, Gemara, the Brisa talks about what you do eat for charos maror, we don't eat for maror. See, he has a line here. The Brisa talks about eating the maror in pieces. Instead of eating it one mouthful. So that's fine. You just have to make sure that all the pieces are within the kedei achilas pras, the Rosh writes. Better make sure all the pieces are within the span of time of kedei achilas pras, whatever that is. Either it's a particular number of minutes, or as the Menchus Chinuch thinks, it has to do with your over the pace at which people eat this particular food. Whatever it is, I have to eat all the pieces of mar within the period of time of kedei achilas pras, so that they'll all add up to what? Apparently, to a kazayas, right? If you didn't need a kazayas, you wouldn't need a kazayas pras. And the Rush writes an enigmatic line. Meshum demivarech alachilas marar, tzarech sheyochal kazayas. Because you make a bracha achilas marar, that's why you eat a kazayas. De'ein achila pepachas mekazayas. Because achila is not less than a kazayas. So the reason why you have to have a kazayas of marar is because you're making a bracha al achilas maror. Oh, we said achilas maror. Achila means the kezayis. That's what you're saying the bracha. You better make sure that you keep the bracha, that the bracha you said is true by actually having a kezayis. It says, but karpas, Yerachas Rishonos, you just make a bar pri adama bi'alma. You only make a birkas hanehenin. You didn't say al achilas karpas. Since you don't make an al-achilas karpas, you don't need a kazayas of karpas. But you make an al-achilas maror, you better have an achila, i.e. kazayas of maror. The Shagasari and others say, this rush is shocking. The logic seems totally backwards. Understand? You have to have a kazayis of maror because of the bracha of al-achilas maror. What? Huh? The bracha, it should be the other way around. You have to do achilas maror. Chazal, or mesakin a kazayis.
Since you have to have a kazayis, it made a bracha al achilas mar. The bracha comes second, not first. If there is a mitzvah, doraisa drabanan, so then chazal masakin a bracha around that mitzvah. We don't put on tefillin because there's a mitzvah, because there's a bracha of lahaniach tefillin. Ah, the bracha lahaniach tefillin, you better be maniach in tefillin. No, there's a mitzvah hanachas tefillin. It's a pasuk in the chumash. Since it's a mitzvah hanachas tefillin, chazal masakin. Ex post facto, Chazal said, Charlie, you can do that mitzvah, but here's a bracha to say as an introduction to that mitzvah. Or even a din d'rabbanan. Mikra Megillah. Do we lame the Megillah because there's a bracha? Once you say bracha al Mikra Megillah, well, you better make sure you lame the Megillah, otherwise it'll be a bracha batal. No, there's a takana d'rabbanan, Mikra Megillah. Chazal said, now you can have that, we're adding, say a bracha beforehand. We don't do the mitzvah because we said the bracha, and I better make sure we do the mitzvah properly. Well, you know, I would have just, I was going to read something else. I was going to just recite my own poem about Purim. And I may say, bracha, I'm Rick and Megillah, better make sure it's the Megillah that I read. No. So what's the Rush saying? Well, since you made a bracha, al achila tomorrow, you better make sure to have your kazayas. Because the bracha says achila. That's what it sounds like the Rush is saying. That seems so, the logic seems backwards. No? Well, that just seems back to what do you say?
Well, it seems like Akasha wants to say that the bracha is the siva that you have to have a tefila, but I think that it would be much more clear that the bracha was a siman. Why were Chazal mitzaken that you should say the bracha ala tefila mara? Apparently, it must be that Chazal felt that you had to have a kazayit of mara. I think you could ask Akasha, why would you need to eat a kazayit of something that's just a zeif of a mikdash? There's no good reason to be decided. I don't think that the kasha that we're proposing against the Rosh is really such a kasha.
Oh,
because
oh.
The Rosh
sees it
as a siman, not a
siman. So now Dava's pointed out several important things. Good. So the first thing he says, well, maybe it's that, although the Rosh presents it as though this is a siman, but very good. The Rosh presents it as though the reason for requiring kazayas is a nusach habracha. Maybe the nusach habracha is just a siman, that this must have been the original takana. And then Nadav is digging even deeper, because the deeper question, the Rosh, is the Pesukim talk about Achila? You have to figure the Pesukim talk about Achila in the Mar in particular or not. But Nadav is pointing out that the Rosh's whole discussion, now, the part of the problem with saying that this is a Siman is we have a Brisa anyways that indicates that you need a Kazayas. So why does, we have Mishnayas that indicate you need a Kazayas. So why does the Rosh need a new Siman? We have a siman already. And I mean, if you want just a record of the fact you require kazayis, the Mishnah in the second parak says you can eat multiple minim of mara, they'll all be mitzarif to the shear. And then, you know, a quarter kazayis to this, a quarter kazayis to that, it will all add up to full kazayis. So apparently there is a shear. Now, apparently there is a shear. I'm sorry? Right, right. No, you're right, absolutely. No, so I'm saying, on the to say that it's, to say that this is the reason why we have a kazayis is because of the bracha, that's incredibly difficult. To say that so I'd rather say that the bracha is not the siba, what he really means, even though it's not phrased that way, is the bracha is a siman. But then, which is, you're on to something. Then you have to ask yourself, okay, we have other indications that we don't need the bracha. So Nadav says, maybe the whole shaila is, especially with that Baal HaMor, right, and the truth answer is the Baal HaMor, but with the Gemara in Menachas in mind, Zeichel HaMikdash might be cause to shave things down.
Like not count the weeks.
Moreover, now, but then the question is, so why was he calling the bracha? What was he calling the bracha? So it could be it had to do with specifically the nusach of achila. It could also be, maybe it has to do, yeah?
Maybe it's still a mitzvah because we're
making a. Ah. Now what gives you that idea? Right? And the Baal HaMa'or in Pesachim, and talking about Sfira Somer, had floated the idea that, well, the more something is Zeich HaMikdash, the less it requires a bracha. Now why should that be? So let me ask you a question. This is going to bring us back to Charosas. You notice anything interesting about what the Rambam said about Charosas? Remember I told you, the Rambam will always introduce a mitzvah, give you basic definition, and then later on he'll expand on it.
Right? We saw it by Sibratius Mitzrayim. We saw it to an extent by Nezikin. We saw it by Haseba. They gave sort of an initial thumbnail definition, then later on expanded on the details. I remember in the thumbnail definition, he didn't get into Masada Kol, just said, you have to eat and drink by Haseba. What's his basic definition of the mitzvah of Charoses? What's his basic definition of the mitzvah of Charoses? He says it's a mitzvah. And all he says in Halachit Aleph is this is how you make it. Interesting. This is how you make it. And Mevin Osa al Shulchan B'Leilei Pesachim. B'Leilei Pesach. And you bring it to the table. Period. Now, that's a familiar sound because the Mishnah that we saw in Kuf Yudal and Pesachim says you bring out the whole Ka'ara with the matzah and the Marar and the Charoses. Now, he didn't say much, but he didn't say by Marar and you bring it to the table in Halacha Yud Beis Yud Gimel. Later on, in Parakhet, he goes through the Seder. There he says, you bring out, he quotes the Mishnah, you bring out everything. But he didn't present as you look at Halacha Yud Beis. He talks about the mitzvah Achilas Marar from the outside. Ach, eating Marar is not mitzvah. Torah is mazet, Rabbanan. Chairo says he didn't say anything about eating. He didn't say anything about dipping. All he said is, you bring it out. It's there. It's there. So Rav pointed out, Shurim, it's remarkable. I mean, later on, you get to the actual implementation, how you put all the pieces of Seder together. So he says everything's getting dipped in the charoses. The karpa's getting dipped in the charoses. The masa's getting dipped in the charoses. The mar's getting dipped. Everything's getting dipped in the charoses. Ironically, even though he is the greatest proponent of dipping in the charoses, everything except, I believe, the karpa pesach, the one exception, everything else is getting dipped in the charoses. Yet he mentions, makes no mention of dipping whatsoever in actually defining the mitzvah. It's make it and bring it out. Ketzen osen osa and mevin osa al shulchan. Fascinating. Fascinating, right? That's curious. Curious. So now we have more questions on the table. Right? Not only is the Rambam shifting, Now is the Rambam shifting what it means for charos, what the implications of charos being a mitzvah are, and the Rambam in Mishnah Torah thinks charos is a mitzvah but doesn't need a bracha. It's a very unique type of mitzvah. Maybe that's why. Maybe these pieces should fit together somehow. So let me ask you a question. Let's put Marar aside and charosis aside. Let me ask you a question. Mezuzah, you're moving into a new house, Baruch Hashem, hopefully for good reasons, moving to a new place. So, you have a mitzvah d'oraisa of kviyas mezuzah. The day you move in, if you own the house, then l'chol ha'day is the day you move in, you got to put mezuzah. If you rent, then in machlokas when you put mezuzah. If you own a new house, you put a mezuzah the very first day you move in. It's going to be busy. Moving day can be very, very busy. And you're worried, you sat down with a rav beforehand to figure out, you know, which door it's in the mezuzah and which way it goes. And you have all your mezuzahs bought. Everything's ready to go. But you're not going to put it up until you move in. And moving day, maybe you're just worried. Things are going to, it's an unusually complicated move. A lot of pieces coming. You want to make sure the movers put all the things in the right places. And you're not sure that you're going to have the presence of mind to put up all the mezuzahs. So you have friends. Baruch Hashem, friends offer to help. And there are times in your life when it's wise advice to take offers of help. People offer help, say, thank you, and here's what you could do. So one of your friends say, you know what, you know you could be helpful, cute purposes for me. I would love to do it myself, but I'm just worried that if I leave it to myself, it may not happen until the next day or two, so I'd rather you do it for me. The guy says, sure. You can go through with him in advance, everything's checked off, all the mezuzah's locations, good to go. Right? But here I am, moving day comes, and you, the balabais, are busy managing all the movers, and your friend, Yankov, is putting up the mezuzahs on your behalf. Now, who's Mekayim the mitzvah mezuzah? You are, right? What's Yankov Mekayim? What mitzvah? Chesed. Right? He's doing chesed. Avos Yisrael. He's not Mekayim the mitzvah mezuzah. It's not his house. Right? Who makes the bracha on Kviyas mezuzah? According to the vast majority of poskim, Yankov does. Now the question is, why? You're getting the mitzvah. But he's the one doing it. He's the one doing it. What does that mean? So to make it more precise, the kima mitzvah is yours, but the maisa mitzvah is his. He's performing the maisa mitzvah, you're getting the kima mitzvah. And apparently, according to Rav Poskim, the bracha follows the maisa mitzvah, not the kima mitzvah. And that concept, that when Chazal developed and invented the notion midrabanan of Birkas HaMitzvahs, they correlated it to the Maisei Mitzvah, not Kume Mitzvah. The Salvechik pointed out different pieces of different Shiurim. Shechter put them, all those different Shiurim over the course of years together into a single coherent Kuntras Birkas HaMitzvahs, Simon Gimel and Aris HaTzvi. But at different times, Rav pointed out different aspects of this notion. If the Takana Drabana of Birkas HaMitzvahs, the way Chazal created it, the way they designed it, it relates to the Maisa Mitzvah, not to the Kiyam Mitzvah. So one example is, as we just said about Mezuzah, that if one person is doing the Maisa Mitzvah, another person is gaining the Kiyam Mitzvah, the Bracha is said by the Osa Es Hamasa, not by the Mekayim. Another Nafkamina is a question of, do you make a bracha at all or not? Which we began to see in the world of Charoses. The truth is, Rishonim debate this extent. There's a rich discussion about this. The Tshuvas, Rajman's Tshuvas quotes of Yosef Ibn Palat. I mean, we touched on him a little bit earlier in the year. He was a otherwise largely unknown figure who apparently must have been one of the Gedolei Chachmei Hadar, because the Ravid, who was one of the Gedolei Rishonim, wrote him a question with apparently incredible kniya and kafifas to Yosef Ibn Palat. Yamdenu Rabbeinu, I don't understand. When do you? Gemara says, "Call mitzvahs kum varach lein lo v'lasiyah son." And yet we have all these mitzvahs that don't call for brachas whatsoever. Sipritias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah, and Kiddush is a mitzvah, and Kibbutz Avim is a mitzvah, and Tzedakah is a mitzvah, etc., etc. So many mitzvahs break that rule. Call out mitzvahs cool on every single mitzvah. It's not every single mitzvah. So what's the rule? When yes and when no? So that question was raised several times over the course of the period of Rishonim. So the Rajba quotes the Ravid with great deference, asked Yosef Ibn Palat, and Yosef Ibn Palat says, there isn't one answer, but there are several different factors in play in order for a mitzvah to require bracha. So here are the factors, and here the gives it this fact, you need this factor, and that's why the following mitzvahs fall away. You need this factor, that's why these mitzvahs fall away, and so on and so forth. The Rashi himself talks about some more. Rabbeinu Manoah, the Rambam addresses it very briefly, the beginning of the last Perek of Hilchos Brachos. Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Brachos is about Birkas HaMitzvahs. Rambam addresses it briefly. Rabbeinu Manoah on the bottom, the Frankel, he has a long, long arichas. One of the factors that keeps coming up is that you only make a bracha if there is a maisa. Just as we said that if there is a maisa, the one who, in terms of who makes the bracha, it's the one doing the maisa who makes the bracha. So, by logical extension, if there is no maisa at all, no one makes a bracha. Or, if there's a very loosely defined maisa. Avos Yisrael, chesed is usually a mitzvah shal maisa, but that you can't give sharp definition of what's considered a maisa chesed. 1,001 things can be maisa chesed. It all depends on context. Right? Whereas the tilas adayim, the tilas lulav, mikr megillah, halal from this morning, is a clearly sharply defined maisa mitzvah. You can sing different igunim for halal, but there's a well-defined maisa mitzvah. Right? I could, there is some variation in terms of what my talis might look like, but there's a well-defined Chefta shal mitzvah of tzitzis, of talis, and the well-defined act of atifa b'tzitzis, so you can make a bracha l'satif b'tzitzis. There's a well-defined, the maisa mitzvah of achilas matzah, we know what achil is, we know what matzah is, achilas morar, tefillin, and so on and so forth. So if there's no maisa mitzvah whatsoever, like emuna, which occasionally will express itself in Maasei Bitachon, but fundamentally, it's a mitzvah pnimis, it's a chovas halavavos, or if it's a loosely defined maaseh mitzvah, like kibud av ve'eim or tzedakah, so again, those are some of the reasons for why those mitzvahs don't require brachas. Again, some rishonim have other explanations for some of the specifics we mentioned. Maybe tzedakah has to do with the fact someone else is involved, and so on and so forth. But that seems to be a recurring theme in the criteria that Rishonim give, is that in order to require mandate a bracha, you need to have a maisa and a well-defined maisa at that. I would even suggest that that may be part of Shmuel's nusach. Kol mitzvah kul mevarach aleihem over la asiyasan. When we learn about the sugya of over la asiyasan, we usually think mostly about the over part. It has to be in advance. But Yose has to be in advance of the asiya. So if there is no asiya, there's no bracha. So kol mitzvah kul. So all bracha, all mitzvahs, but only if there's going to be an asiya. There's no asiya, then there's no bracha. And if there is an asiya, the osa, as hamaisa, is the one who says the bracha. That's the Rav suggests pshat in charoses. Oh, what's going on with charoses? So apparently, charoses, for the Rambam, the mitzvah is basically having it there. It's not primarily a mitzvah's tibul. It's a mitzvah, you want to have, that's, so to speak, l'saberes ha'ozen. It's like you need to, it's a mitzvah of displaying it. It's almost like having the artwork. Charoses is the official artwork of the Seder. You need to have that object on the Seder that's so richly symbolic, that symbolizes tapuach and tefen and tit and dam and so on and so forth. You need to have that item on the table. The way the Rav said it, once you have it, that the core mitzvah that's there. Once it's there, so you want to make it as significant as possible. So we say, you'll dip this into it, you dip that to it, and ironically, that's why the Rambam says, dip as much as you can into the charoses, the karpas, and the matzah, and the mar. But the core mitzvah is not the dipping. The dipping is just a hechatimtza to sort of give it, highlight and give it more significance, to accent it more. But the core mitzvah really is that it's there. The core mitzvah is that you're displaying this work of art, so to speak. You're displaying this symbolic item. You're displaying the charoses. That's why the Rambam defines the mitzvah. You make it with this recipe, and you put it on the table. So if the essence of the mitzvah is that it's there, that's not a maisa mitzvah. It's there. It's more of a state of being. It's more of a matzav, if you like, a totzah, rather than a maisa. And that might explain also, that might add more spice, no pun intended, I'm sorry, to the non-spice part, to the maror. When Adav was saying before, the Rav suggested, going back, remember the difficult rush, alachilas maror, and therefore you're having a kazayas, it seems the Shagazari said, it should have been the other way around. So Adav said, yes, well maybe we're only talking about maror jabar mizmanaz, eh? And because Zeichel HaMikdash, we're trying to figure out, well, what's the story? Like the Baal HaMor says, well, Zeichel HaMikdash, maybe I should drop the bracha. Why? Because why would I drop the bracha? And the Rav suggested, maybe it's not just the language of the bracha, al achila samarar, as opposed to al mitzvah samarar. Maybe it's the very fact you have a bracha. Because you could have imagined that maror, bizman hazeh, would be a little more like charosas. I can imagine, Zeichel HaMikdash has the maror there. What's Zeichel HaMikdash supposed to mean? Did Chazal actually masake, were they actually masaking to go through the same act of achilas maror that we had with Zman HaMikdash? Or did you say you should have the maror on the table? So you'll take a little nibble. Even if you take a little nibble, but that means, if you take a little nibble, that means this isn't really a well-defined maisa mitzvah. The real mitzvah is just to have it there. And the nibble is, you know, adding a little more connection to it. To say that there's a bracha, not only specifically the language of achil, which Rosh highlights also, but the very fact that there's a bracha at all indicates that this is a well-defined maisa mitzvah. That when Chazal sat down to misakin and dindra abana of mar bizman hazeh, they didn't choose the root of, you know, a little flair, a little something, just zecher. The motivation for the takana might have been zecher, but the ofen ha-takana, what they were actually formulated was a formally defined maisa achilas mar. Memela you have a bracha, and memela is a formally defined maisa achilas mar. Memela you have a kazayis. Yeah. Question.
It seems that there are certain aspects of the charoset that are gamed just by it being there. Like the fact that we
want
to make it sour zecha matapua can only be something that you realize once you do a maisa of tasting it.
Ah, okay.
If the taste is supposed to be the
zecha
hamikdash, right, and then that would seem to me that it's no different from eating the
maror. But Vaitzer, the what the Rosh is wondering about is yes, we have maror b'zmaza zecha hamikdash, but how much do we actually have to eat of it? Do we have to take a little lick? You actually have to do a maisa achila.
Right, but it seems like you also have to do a maisa to get certain aspects of karosa.
Ah, right. So you're saying also we could have imagined. But that's what the Rambam says. You do dip. You do taste it. But that's not really the
part of the mitzvah.
Right, but that just enhances, completes. If now I understand what I'm looking at. I'm more connected to the item on the table, but
couldn't
primarily, I'm sorry.
You could have,
and that's why the Rav suggests. That's what the Rush is thinking. Maybe that's what Mara is also. Basically, having the table, you take a little lick to be connected, or as you say, take a lick so you'll taste that it's bitter. But basically, it's not really achila smar. Just have it. In which case, there would have been no bracha. The same way that itake is no bracha on charoses. So that's and then there would have been also no need for a kazayis. Just take a lick. So the Rosh says, but there is a bracha on maror. So that indicates not only the nusach of achilas maror, but the very fact that there's a bracha at all indicates that Chazal were masakin this drabanan as a formal ma'isa achila. Not the way they're masakin charoses, perhaps, it's according to the Rambam. That's fine. They could have chosen different models in different cases. The point is that what the Rosh is grappling with by Maror is what sort of din d'rabbanan is Chazal set up. Clearly the motivation is another important chakira here, just a distinction to be aware of here, in addition to Torah Mais and Kiyum, is when you think about d'rabbanan, you always want to think about the Tam HaTakana versus the Ofen HaTakana. What was the reason, what was the motivation for the din d'rabbanan versus how is it actually formulated? Now, the motivation could be Zeich HaMikdash, but the question is, what did they do? We can talk about this Hanukkah time also. What did they do, Zeich HaMikdash? Did they just say, make a Zecher? Or they said, because we want to make a Zecher, do an actual Maisa Achila? That's what the Rosh is clarifying about. And his salute, and his data, his proof is, well, look, there's a bracha. If you say Achila Smar, no, you say Achila Smar. A Chazal Kuv Misakan Al Mitzvah Smar. The very fact you have a bracha at all, and specific language of the bracha, both indicate that the way Chazal chose to formulate the mitzvah of Mar is as a mitzvah of Achila. And the Rambam agrees as well. He opens by saying, Perek Zayin Lachi Beis, Achila Smar. Whereas by Charoses, it's not a mitzvah of Achila. You do end up, you enhance it being there by tasting it, by dipping with it, by doing stuff with it, use it, connect with it. But that's more engagement with the display. It's fundamentally a mitzvah of make and display. It's a mitzvah to have it there, not a mitzvah to...
So then according to those Rishonim said you eat less than a kazayit of maror, why would you make a bracha?
No one says it. No one actually said...
Oh, right.
Karpas is a machlokas. Karpas is a machlokas. Yeah, that's Rosh's point. If it was less than a kazayit, then we would not have a bracha. Now, finally, let's wrap back to complete our first, and for today only, teretz, to the Prima Gadim's kasha, the Prima Gadim's enhancement of the Rush's attack on the Bahag. And again, Rush had said, how could the Bahag say, you miss a day, you're out. What? The Rush said, what do you mean? It's every day is a new mitzvah. If I missed tefillin yesterday was Shabbos. If I missed tefillin on Friday, that's not a reason to skip tefillin today, Chalila Adraba. I should be more mischazik in the mitzvah. So if every day is Sfira, it's a separate mitzvah, why should I skip today because I skipped yesterday? Bad enough I skipped yesterday, make sure to count properly today. Meaning the Bahag, obviously the Rosh is saying that, how could you say that I call Yom is mitzvah of Neasma? Obviously he's reading that the Bahag held that it is one mitzvah. Right? The Rosh understood the Bahag holds is one big mitzvah with 49 parts, so that's why you miss a part, you're out. Just like if you don't have a lulav, there's no kiyum in holding an esrog. If you didn't count 17, there's no kiyum in counting 18. But the Rosh says, but it's not true. And Prima Gadim had said, I'll prove to you it's not true.
Now the Bahag will say, well, it is true, and I think it is one big mitzvah. Who's to say? So the Prim Gam says, I'll prove to you it's not one big mitzvah. Why? What was his proof? Say bracha every day. Every day is new mitzvah. So now, with the insight of the Rav, that Birkas HaMitzvah, the Takandra Abana Birkas HaMitzvahs are always built around Maaseh Mitzvah. So we saw number one, one type of Nafkamina is who says the bracha? The Oseh Mitzvah, not the Mekayimus HaMitzvah, when those two roles are separate, right? Like when you're putting up mezuzah for someone else. Nafkamina type number two is, does this mitzvah require bracha at all? The answer is only if there is a Maaseh Mitzvah and a well-defined Maaseh Mitzvah that. That's not the only rule, but definitely a significant percentage of what the Rishonim say. And now here comes to number three. There is a mitzvah, clearly a mitzvah in Sfiras HaOmer. How many? 49. And I'll prove to you there are 49 separate mitzvah mitzvah, because zmano shel zeh, lo kizmano shel zeh. If I'm going to do bir chametz, I'm going to do bedikas chametz, I may do bedikas chametz in multiple rooms in my house and in the car and the other car, but those are just one long ma'aseh mitzvah because they all apply at the same time. I can even do them in any order if I want to, but certainly they all apply at the same time. So there I'll say, I'm just reiterating the same ma'aseh mitzvah again and again and again and again. I'm doing a bedikah, another bedikah, another bedikah, all bedikas el yadalit. Just reiterations of the same ma'aseh mitzvah, one bracha covers them all. Or, says the Yerodea, a shochet has a whole pen full of animals to shecht. So he makes one ala shechita and he shechts them all. Because it's reiterations of the same ma'aseh mitzvah repeated again and again and again. Zmano shel zeh kizmano shel zeh. I can do them all today. There's no distinction. They're just repetitions of the self-same ma'aseh mitzvah. But Sfiras HaOmer is 49 distinct, disparate ma'aseh mitzvah. Obviously, number one, the nusach of each sphere is separate. And number two, the timing is non-overlapping. I can't be Mekayim, what did we count last night? Anyone forgot? How did we count last night? 15, right? 2 weeks in a day. So I could not, if I forgot to count last night, okay, it's a Bahag, it's the first sheet of the Bahag, to count now. But I cannot count 14 now, and I cannot count 16 now. And tomorrow, I can count 16 and not 15. Zmano shalzeh, lo kizmano shalzeh. So that indicates, Rabosai, that what we have here is one mitzvah, but 49 mitzvahs. Which one is it? Well, there are 49 maaseh mitzvah. 49 distinct maaseh mitzvah, but the Bahag would argue, the Rav suggested, one kiyum mitzvah. One mitzvah in the sense that there's one, all these 49 acts will add up to a single mitzvah sphere of Sa'oma. Because for the Bahag, the mitzvah is to count from here to there. Just as Lulav Esrog Hadas Maravos add up to one mitzvah of Ulakachtem Lachem. But there you do them as a single maisa, right? Whereas, let's say, Tfilin Shal Yad, Tfilin Shal Rosh, those are two separate mitzvahs. I do them in tandem, Shal Yad on, Shal Rosh off, Shal Yad off, but they're two separate mitzvahs that are overlapping, they're intertwining, they're interacting with each other, but they're two separate kiyume mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Shal Yad, the mitzvah of Shal Rosh. And moreover, if I put my Shal Yad today, I put my Shal Yad tomorrow, those are clearly two separate kiyume mitzvah. I put my Shal Yad today as Mekayim mitzvah. I put my Shal Yad tomorrow as Mekayim mitzvah. But Sfiras HaOmer, the Rav suggested, and this is the first and our only solution for today, we'll save the next teretz for tomorrow. The Rav suggested, one mahalach is, if you appreciate how Birkas HaMitzvah operate, so you could say, the Prima Gadim's Raya doesn't speak to the point, according to the Bahag. Yes, you make 49 separate mitzvahs. Excuse me. Yes, you make 49 separate brachos. That's because you have 49 separate Maase mitzvah. Just as when Yankel is kind enough to put up my mezuzahs for me in my house on moving day, that doesn't prove, the fact that he's saying the bracha doesn't prove that he was Mekayim any mitzvah. It does prove that he did a Maase mitzvah. So too, the number of brachos doesn't prove the number of Kiyume mitzvah. It does prove the number of Maase mitzvah, but that's all that it proves. So the Rav suggested that the Bahag would respond to Rigadim, yes, there are 49 brachas, there are 49 Maase mitzvah, but the Bahag will continue to contend, but there are only one Kiyumah mitzvah. There are 49 separate Maase, which together add up to one Kiyumah mitzvah. If I don't have all 49, then I will have fulfilled nothing. I tried. Amos Hashem. I was trying. I was trying to do a mitzvah. Amos Hashem, Yiras Hashem. And because the 49 mitzvahs, Maase come in order, until I missed out, I was trying. But now that I missed day 18, the night of 18, the day of 18, the night of 19, I realized, Gevalt, I missed day 18. So there's no gain in counting, because you know that with all the counting you're going to do, you will have no Kiyum Mitzvah whatsoever. That was the Rav's suggestion, that for the Bahag, it's one Kiyum HaMitzvah with 49 separate Maase Mitzvah. Whereas for Tosis and the Rosh, there are 49 separate Kiyum Mitzvah. And the reason why you make a separate bracha is because it's a new start in the mitzvah. For the rush, it's a mitzvah to count each day during this period, while for the Bahag, it's a mitzvah to count all the days. So the Bahag agrees that each day is a separate Maase counting, distinct, disparate Maase counting with its own bracha, but it's only one mitzvah of counting all the days. You can count all the days, you haven't done anything. Yeah, question. Ah, okay. So what you're suggesting is that maybe part of them, going back to that machlokas, so what you're suggesting is that we were talking before, right? That to say that Zecher indicates count only the days is that type of thinking that the Rush was raising as a Havni by Maror, and that the Baal HaMaror also raises in his discussion of Sfiras HaOmer. Well, once it's Zeichel HaMikdar, so maybe I just need to get the Wurch HaZal Masakhi, just getting the flavor of doing this full Maase Mitzvah. So what you're saying, let's pull all the pieces together. According to HaMeimer, did HaMeimer make a bracha or not? Did HaMeimer make a bracha or not? Interesting. I don't know. It's still a better defined Maase Mitzvah. And he still did require, you have to count. Today you have to count 15. Tomorrow you have to count 16. Next day you have to count 17.
Is it a mitzvah to count each one, or is it a mitzvah
to count? To get a Zecher LaMikdash. Right. So, that's a good question. Would a Meir have said no bracha at all? You should take a look at the Baal HaMaror and see how he thinks about this concept in the context of Sfiras HaOmer.
Also, do you make a bracha when you have a
Zecher Torah? That's an interesting question.
Because if you do, then shouldn't you be making a bracha on each separate?
If you make a bracha and Ksiva Sefer Torah, why not make a bracha every time? You're right. So, interesting question. Now, I don't know that we. I don't think we make a bracha at all. I'm not sure why. Also, there are other than issues of hefsek. Which your prima gadin was not thinking about. And you could have just said, well, maybe he's making a new bracha every day because there's a hafsek. But once you leave that off the table, so then every session of writing is not fundamentally separate from the others. In other words, it's Zmar Shalzek, Zmar Shalzek. It's not like there's a chiyuv when you write a sefer Torah to write bereishis during the week of bereishis and Noach during the week of Noach. That would be really parallel to Sfiras HaOmer. But here, it takes time, so you take breaks. But fundamentally, all the acts of writing are interchangeable. I mean, you have to, practically, you're probably going to write this before you write that. It doesn't even have to be written in Kassidra. So, but I'm not sure. That's an interesting question. Ksiva Sefer Torah does require a bracha. I don't think so. I'm not sure why. Yeah, working around the room. You were waiting very patiently, Ezra.
So, just clarification. Did The lack of the kume removes the maaseh completely.
The lack of?
The lack of the kume removes the maaseh
completely. What do you mean?
You know, like, once the kume is gone, the maaseh, like, maaseh mitzvah no longer exists. Right?
If I remove the kume mitzvah, there's no maaseh mitzvah. Well, if I did a maaseh mitzvah ineffectively, but I do a maaseh mitzvah in order to attain a certain result. Right, you're asking, right, correct. So if I know that if I already missed day 18, so there's no value in counting day 19.
So does that then mean that if you fail on day 18, you have retroactively made 17 bracha over the color?
According to most achronim, yes. At least a gulafi the bahag, which is why. So then, yeah, keep going.
According to the bahag, if you have a habit of forgetting a day or two, should you then not count?
Great point. So some of the Achronim for like a century ago, I don't remember if it's a Mishnah Berurah or Chashulcha, maybe both, talk about either people who have the tendency to forget. He says women who volunteer to count Sefiras HaOmer, so often, or for that matter, men who don't daven properly Tfila B'Tzibur, Ma'ariv, or for maybe legitimate reason, can't for whatever reason. But if I know that it's likely past performance indicates that, you know, if the rove is, I'm going to forget. So there are achronim who think that you should meirosh. The last 30 years, I never made through to the end. Right. So then there are achronim who say, then you should from the outset. Now you don't have the right to just not make a bracha, but you should try a biyote with someone else's bracha. I think other achronim disagree. They say, no, if you're gonna, I'm determined this year to do it properly, so maybe I should. But another nafkami is, let's say a person knows that he has a medical procedure scheduled for over the course of Sefiras HaOmer. And he knows they're going to be putting him under general anesthetic, late afternoon, and he will not have recovered sufficiently to be able to count Sefiras HaOmer until more than 24 hours later. He knows in advance. The procedure is scheduled. So, onus rachmana patre. He's not going to daven. He's not going to say kriyas shema kapunt. Okay, onus rachmana patre. He doesn't have an option, and he's not going to count Sefiras HaOmer that day. The question is: should we tell him to already from the outset? You know the first night of Sefira that you're not going to make it through to the end. Right, you're correct. So, many achronim suggest, along the lines you're saying, that according to the Tosfos and the Rosh, it's irrelevant. But we, Shulchan does say that for bracha's purposes, we're machmer, mekel, however you want to put it, we're concerned with the bahag, so then why not say, I think more achronim suggest that in the case of the surgery. It's not like, okay, but this year I'm going to try to do my best, and then if I make a bracha, that will help me to do the mitzvah properly. It's not within my control. It's not within my control. Yeah, that's very important to keep your eye on, because what we'll see is Mircham tomorrow will wrap up the sugya with the Rav's other proposed solution for the Bahag, and what you put your finger on the Nafkamina, because we're going to see that for the other solution, it would emerge that the brachas up until that point were not a bracha latala, even according to the Bahag. Yes. Well, no, the other solution, let's get back to it tomorrow. Other teretz is a totally different type of approach. But again, but this first teretz is a teretz based on general principles. This is an argument based on, well, you're looking at Birkas HaMitzvah, so how do Birkas HaMitzvah work?